Welcome to Fast Post Masterclass, our brand new podcast series where elite athletes break down their craft for you. My name is Shubham Pandey and joining me in this episode is Olympian Suma Shiru. Suma is among country's legendary shooters. She had reached the finals of the 2004 Olympics where she had finished 8th in 10-meter air rifle event. Currently, she is a high-performance specialist coach for Junior Indian Rifle Shooting Team. Today, she will be speaking on her sporting journey and giving us some knowledge and learnings related to the technicalities and challenges associated with shooting, especially 10-meter air rifle. So, firstly, we'll start with you. Tell us about your journey. How did you get into the sport shooting?
Well, I started shooting about, let's say it's more, it's around 25 years now. And actually, my getting into shooting was almost, I would say, by accident. And it was really just by chance because I've always been a sportsman and I always enjoyed sports in school. So I used to participate in everything. So in every sport available in school, kabaddi, khokho, you know, badminton, table tennis, basketball, name it. And, you know, I just enjoyed it. So when I joined after my 12th, I was doing my graduation. I'm a science graduate in chemistry. And unfortunately, there was no sport in college. So then I joined NCC just in the hope that, you know, they might have some outdoor activities that I would be interested in. And in our very first training camp, when I was in NCC, they had rifle shooting. And so that was the first time that, you know, I held a gun in my hand and we had a small exercise where they gave us about 5 or 10 shots to shoot. And in the very first go, I had a very small groove on the target. So at the end of when they saw the targets, they were all suddenly, you know, I kind of became the little hero in our group and in my college. And it was like, she's good in shooting. So then my seniors told me, you know, they guided me and to a shooting range in Mumbai, the Maharashtra Rifle Association. It's in Worli. So they told me, you know, that I could go there and, you know, check out, you know, what shooting is all about. And so when I went there, that's when I got an introduction to what shooting is all about. That's when I came to know that shooting is indeed an Olympic sport, and that I could you know, start training there. So that's how I really got into shooting. It was almost by chance.
Okay. Thank you. Why did you choose particularly 10-meter air rifle? How did that happen to you? I mean, not 50-meter, but 10-meter.
Actually, I started with 50-meter. So when you're in NCC, we start with a .22 rifle. And so I was initially a 50-meter shooter. And but as I started, you know, looking towards competitive shooting and training for competitive shooting, that's when the 10-meter air rifle also was introduced to me as another event. So 10-meter air rifle happened to me, you know, I started much later after my 50-meter rifle, 50-meter three position training. And it was only before I started competing at the, you know, at the national championship that I started with a 10-meter event. And but I pursued 10-meter for longer than I did 50 meters. And I've also represented India in several World Cups and several competitions as a 50-meter three position shooter. But so I used to do both 10 meters and 50 meters. But after I was pregnant and with my first kid, and that's when you know, I kind of had to make a choice because the shooting range was 2 hours from my house. So I lived in New Bombay, and from my house to Worli was like a 2 hour journey every day. So I actually traveled 4 hours only for shooting, and I did that for almost 10 years of my life and all the way up to the Olympics. And when I was pregnant with my first kid, I had to actually make a choice because I could no longer travel so much and with little, and even later, you know, with little kids at home, with my little one at home, I really could not afford to spend 4 hours traveling time for my sport. So that's when I decided that probably I should make a choice. And instead of doing two events, I'd rather do only one, but, you know, give it all I got, all it needs, and get to the, you know, highest level. So that's when I actually made a choice and continued with my 10-meter air rifle shooting.
Yeah, that's a great story. Is it the norm that you, when one starts shooting, when we start with 50 meter, because is it slightly like easier than 10 meter? I mean, speaking very naively about it.
There's nothing easy or tough about, say, 50 meters or 10 meter event. Mm-hmm. Both actually complement each other. So if you are a 50 meter shooter, then I think the strength of your position and the feeling of your position and stuff actually helps you with the 10 meters. Okay. And if you're pursuing 10 meter rifle shooting, then the precision with which you are into the aiming and triggering that you need in 10 meter rifle shooting, that precision helps us with the 50 meter rifle event.
Okay.
So both events actually complement each other, and I think it's always better to do both.
Okay. So when somebody is starting out, like, a child comes to the shooting academy, so how does one we know that that particular child is good in rifle shooting or shotgun shooting? Is there any process? Is there any way to find out?
It's very difficult at the initial stage to find out or to say who's good and what. So, but like in most ranges, shotgun ranges are shotgun shooting is completely different. You have rifle and pistol both being shot at the same range. So, and it's also a lot more popular simply because it's more accessible to one and all. We have very, very few shotgun ranges. So shotgun shooters, by and large, are shooters who have access to a range or who know someone who's a shotgun shooter. And generally, it's more with shooters who have access to these ranges. But by and large, in our country, I think rifle and pistol shooting is more popular simply because there are a lot more rifle pistol ranges in the country. So you can have a 10 meter range virtually anywhere, you know.
Right.
And we have a lot of 10 meter ranges in schools, colleges, and that's the reason that you have a lot more a number of rifle pistol shooters than shotgun. And also, when it comes to deciding whether I'm good at rifle or pistol, I think generally everyone starts with rifle shooting and then they kind of decide whether they want to continue with rifle and then they switch to pistol. So
okay.
Most of the pistol shooters, I'm quite sure, do know the basics of rifle. But otherwise, I think some shooters just by instinct know that they want to do rifle or pistol. But, you know, on an average, most of them start with rifle and eventually decide if they want to continue with rifle or then they switch to pistol.
Okay. So such small technicalities that are there in the sport, which matters a lot. Can you elaborate more on the basics, like techniques of air rifle shooting?
See, air rifle shooting is when we talk about technique, it's just one aspect of the whole game. So, like how I always say that to have a good sport performance, there are various aspects that give us a good performance. So, technique is definitely one of them. And the other aspects would be equipment. See, shooting is a very, very technical sport. And whether we like it or not, we need to accept that a good equipment definitely makes a difference when it comes to performance, because you know, it's shooting is a very technical sport, and there's a lot of innovations keep happening and keep coming up across the world, and you know, we need to be abreast with technology. So equipment matters, as also our health and fitness. And apart from our psychological condition and the environment at home and at the range, all these elements together are responsible for helping us with a good sport performance. But when we speak of technique, even in technique, there are a lot of aspects that are responsible for a good shot. So to begin with, I always say it's always the outer position. So the way you take your position.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, again, a lot of science involved in that. You know, the most important thing is having an outer position, wherein the position is generally based on your bone structure, where you're using your bone structure to as the load bearing, you know, framework of the entire position. So once you have the outer position, once you learn the outer position, then it's the inner position. So even when it comes to your inner position, it's about how you feel, you know, with each muscle group within this outer framework. So then you have to master your inner position. And once you have the inner position, once you've mastered that, and then it comes to the final aspect of the game, and that is the aiming, and then the triggering, the follow-through. Mm-hmm. So this completes the entire journey of one single shot.
Okay.
And once we master this, at after a certain level, then you are going to try out various things that will ensure or only strengthen our command on a single shot. So I think what Abhinav did was at a much later stage, where you know, you kind of challenge yourself with various distractions just to ensure or develop the command you have on a single shot process.
Mm-hmm. Like you spoke about that outer position and inner position. Could you like give some example to explain it further?
When it comes to the outer position, of course, we have. If you have a look at the nationals, we have about say roughly 2,500 shooters in every event. So if you look at the 10-meter air rifle shooting national. The national event, then you see that each shooter has different outer positions. So of course, there's a basic science that governs the way you take your outer position, in which the forces are balanced, and say the way you have the weight distribution on your foot, the way your hips are aligned, your shoulders are aligned, the way your elbow is resting on your hip. Mm-hmm. And the way you take your grip. So these are the what you see from the outside. But each shooter generally develops his own outer position.
Right.
And what is common is the inner position, is the command that each and every shooter has on his inner position. Why? Because they need to maintain it for, we have a 60-shot match.
Mm-hmm.
So if I have to shoot 60 perfect shots, then I need to repeat the same movement 60 times in the same manner. So if I have to repeat something in the same manner 60 times, I must have a command on how I do it. So there has to be a certain procedure with which I do it. So I must have a command of the single shot procedure that I have. It's called a single shot routine that I follow. Once I have a command on a single shot routine, I will be able to repeat it 60 times.
I also read that breathing is a very important part of the whole sport. I mean, can you spin on that? I mean, how breathing is an important part?
Breathing ultimately is a very important aspect of your inner position.
Okay.
And in fact, it's the breathing that creates a certain harmony in our shooting. And it's our breathing pattern that eventually gives us enough air during our aiming and triggering. So that's the time when our lungs are empty. We are completely exhaled. Of course, there are many shooters who inhale completely.
When they're aiming
and triggering. Okay. But ideally, you know, I would say it's always better to completely exhale.
Okay.
So, yeah, so you've exhaled completely and you're in your final stage of your aiming and triggering, and you need to have enough air. So it's your breathing cycle that regulates it.
So did you used to exhale or inhale? You used to exhale?
Exhale, and I used to inhale. But that's what is generally, because when you exhale completely, it lowers your center of gravity and your it's the best state for shooting. So when you're completely exhaled and you have that certain amount of time when you can hold on to that state. Maybe 3 seconds, 4 seconds. For some, they have a very good lung capacity. It could be 7, 8 seconds. I don't know. It really depends on a shooter. Right. So it's that's the time in which you have to do a very smooth trigger release, and that gives us a good shot. That's why breathing is extremely important.
Yeah, right. You know, on that inhale and exhale part, like are they shooter? Is it a very individual choice that some shooters like they opt to inhale and some shooters opt to exhale? Like in case you exhale and it suits you.
Eventually, everything is individual choice.
Okay.
How you do it? It's about how you feel and what you're comfortable with and what you can maintain. So eventually, everything is an individual choice. But apart from that, when we talk about the basics, there's also a certain science in the game. So if you look at the science, then it is always better to exhale. So okay. I would always say that if you need to have a long career and if you need to have a strong career, then it's better to establish your basics based on the science of the game.
So the next question is, you know, as a sport, shooting is mentally very exhausting. It is a mental sport. And when a shooter is shooting, there is no movement. It is just focusing hard and hard, and as you said, breathing. And there is no physical activity involved in this. So how much does physical exercise become important for a shooter here?
See, for a layman, when he sees a shooter, he thinks there is no physical activity.
Exactly.
There is no effort, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, there is a lot of effort and there is a lot of physical activity that is not seen from outside.
Right.
Because it's the most natural aspect of a human body is movement. And if I have to control the movement and hold it steady and at the same place for a long period of time, I think that needs a lot of muscle endurance. That needs a lot of strength.
Mm-hmm.
And for that, you need to have good fitness. Of course, we have had in the past a lot of shooters who've not been very fit. We've had examples in the past, but I would say that that's an exception and not the norm. And I'd rather say that it's important to maintain. I wouldn't say you need fitness like an athlete, or you need mm-hmm. fitness like a tennis player. Definitely not. But you need muscle endurance. You need basic fitness. You know, that will help us maintain our position for a long period of time. So though it looks from the outside like there is no activity, internally, to maintain your inner position, there is a lot of work being done with the muscles. So, like, I have to give an example. You know, my kids when they were younger, so they used to play both football and shooting. So
okay.
They loved playing football, and they also enjoyed shooting, but they loved playing football. And what I observed and what I also got a feedback from them when they were kids was that they always thought that they felt more tired after shooting.
Oh.
Because I would see that they would sleep earlier on the days when they were shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And which was again, like good understanding for me, good feedback for me, and good understanding of the game for me. Because eventually you really need good muscle strength to keep it at the same place without any movement. It really needs a lot of energy. And that made them, tire more easily than they played when they did a physical activity. So though there was no physical activity from the outside, it was the mind and body together at work that caused a lot of fatigue.
Just asking this very randomly, does height play a role in shooting?
Well, they say yes. Mm-hmm. And it's a belief that if you're shorter, it just helps you because it lowers your center of gravity and, it keeps you. But that goes, beyond what, normal shooters say or normal coaches believe. There is nothing that confirms that all shooters are not good shooters. Increasingly, there are many examples wherein we've had very good tall shooters. So, if you look at the science of the game, then yes, if you're shorter, it's better. Mm-hmm. But in reality, practically, it really doesn't completely prove it because there are many tall shooters. As long as you're able to balance yourself and you find the right settings in your rifle, I think it should not be a problem. And in previous years, I would say yes, the tall shooters were not doing as well as the shorter shooters. I would say that. Why? Because there were a lot of restrictions in the setting of the rifle. So it was always very difficult for a tall shooter to make the right kind of settings on his rifle. There were not very flexible settings, but with technology and the rules of the games have really, really changed big time. And in present date, I think that doesn't hold true because you really have a lot of settings you can do on the rifle and also cater to all the tall shooters that we have.
Mm-hmm. Speaking from from mental side of things, is it easy as a coach to know where the problem lies in the shooter if the shooter is struggling? If it is a technical issue or something to do with the mind space. So how do you find that out?
Well, I think a good coach can definitely find out and locate issues, and especially a good coach who has a lot of experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's important to understand that, what I always say, the shooting is a very technical sport. Yes, it is a mind, it is a sport which involves the mind and, for the concentration, it's also very important. But beyond that, there's so much, there's so many elements when it comes to the technique that a coach really needs to have a lot of command over the subject to be able to locate and understand that sometimes it's not just the mind, but it's simply the various elements in either your position or your rifle that that are responsible for the outcome. So I think it's important that the coach also has good knowledge of the subject.
With a period like this, where the shooters are not really, they're not as active as they should be because of the situation that we have right now in our hands. What are your suggestions to the shooters, in these times? Should they relax a lot? How do they, keep up, what should they do in these times?
Well, to all the shooters who are undergoing, tough times in this lockdown period, I would say that, out of the various elements that I say are responsible for a good sport performance, there are certain elements that you can definitely train at home. And especially, when it comes to your health and fitness and some elements of your technique, you can definitely train for it at home. So one can make, a shooter can make himself fitter in this lockdown period. And it's for most of us, I think we are training and traveling so much for various competitions.
Right.
That it's very nowadays it's very difficult to find a calm time when you can actually up your level of fitness. So this is, I would say, a blessing in disguise for a lot of the shooters who've been wanting to work out but haven't found a suitable, you know, window in their shooting calendar to actually invest their time and effort in a good workout. So I think this is a time, and I would reiterate that most of the shooters should use this time to increase their levels of fitness. And nowadays, with so many apps and so many online stuff, I think virtually you can do any fitness in the small spaces in your houses. And if, you know, if there are many who don't have enough space, I think you can actually do any workout in a house.
Mm-hmm.
And apart from the fitness part, I think when it comes to the technique, the position, the inner position, a lot of it can be built up in this period at home.
Mm-hmm.
And to reiterate this, I would like to go back to my times in mm-hmm. my shooting. So when we started shooting, pellets, ammunition was not so easily available as it is now.
Right.
And so we would do dry practice for the whole year.
Oh.
And so now when I look back, I think we had a lockdown for the entire year. Because we never had any pellets or ammunition on which we could train. So we were only given, say, one tin before the nationals. Mm-hmm. And we never had so many competitions. But because of this, we developed such strong inner positions that it really helped us stay in the game at a very high level for a long time. And I would say, shooters, that instead of complaining, make the most of the time they have here and do your dry training at home, do your wall holding, and build your inner position in a way that once the lockdown is over, you should come out fitter and stronger as a shooter.
Yeah. This is one more question that fascinates me is like, I see a lot of shooters who are like, they're headed to Olympics as well. Anjum, I think she also paints and draws. The other shooters also, they're involved in some artistry, some artistic activity. Do you think, because art is a result of a lot of conflict of mind, you know, so many self-doubt, but sport is a different thing. Sport needs clarity. So do you think getting engaged in this, artistic activities also is a bit of a distraction for the shooters?
I think definitely any activity beyond your sport, any distraction can be also good for the shooters, because and when it comes to art, I would say it's a very constructive distraction, because it
okay.
helps you engage yourself with a process. It helps you it's definitely more calming, and it helps you with your concentration, and it creates that certain level of calmness of the mind, which is, I think, a very good thing for shooting. So if for those shooters who like art or who are interested in art, I think it's a great thing. And even for those who are not, I'll definitely advocate them using a little bit of paintbrush and engaging in colors. It's extremely good for the mind.
Great, great. As a coach, when you're seeing a kid who's starting out, what ascertains that he or she has a great future? How do you spot the talent?
Most important, it's very difficult early on to say how high or how mm-hmm. far a shooter can go.
Mm-hmm.
But after the first 2 or 3 years, I think it becomes pretty much evident, because what is important is that a young shooter should enjoy the process. And if they enjoy training, if they enjoy the hours of training, and most important, if they are able to stay concentrated for the entire duration of time, I think that's a very good indicator of a shooter in the making. But all said and done, shooters, if they come young, definitely change with time, with age. And I've seen some shooters who mature and, you know, who turn 18 and they're completely different people, and they become so much more better at shooting. And the other way around. So it's very difficult to really predict as a coach who can do well and who can't do well. So it's only time that decides which shooter is good and which shooter is, you know, is average. But I think what's most important is that as a coach, I really enjoy with shooters who are very well concentrated and who enjoy the process. I think it makes it easier for a coach. And I think these shooters are the ones who are able to stay longer in the career.
That's interesting. So, you know, that gets you into another question. That is, so a shooter can start at any age, or is there a particular age which is right to start pursuing that career?
Definitely a shooter can start at any age as long as he has the fire and the motivation to go through the arduous journey of rifle shooting and of competitive sport.
Right.
I think they can start at any age, but if I look at recent trends, shooters are really coming in young, and the average age of especially an air rifle shooter has really come down, say, you know, 18, 19. So the whole sport has become a lot more younger.
Mm-hmm.
But having said that, we have many examples of shooters who are way beyond, you know, what our imagination takes us, you know, of the right age for a sportsman. So having said that, that, you know, the average age has become younger, I still believe that anyone can start and try competing at any age as long as they have the fire in their belly and the motivation.
Right. You have played an Olympic final, which is a huge platform to, you know, go and perform. Just tell about your experience of the pressure of playing in an Olympic final. What was it like?
Yeah, I was. I made it to an Olympic finals in 2004, yeah. And I qualified for the Olympics with a world record score,
yeah,
of 400 out of 400. And I would say that was the best period of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And but having said that, the journey towards that, the journey to the Olympics was really long, and it took me 10 years to reach that level. And the whole journey actually made me really hungry and desperate to give a good performance. And it is that what you say, that deep down hunger that I had for a good performance, that is what helped me really perform. And it was the passion that I put in, the years of training that I put in. And it was the passion of the game for the game that all came together and really helped me with those very fine performances at that point of time.
We have started, like, we have like a range of shooters for next year's Olympics, and most of them we are hoping that they will be in a final. And you have played the final. So, what are the tips you're going to give to them, you know, to deal with that pressure?
I think when it comes to pressure, I'm not worried at all regarding our shooters, because they have stood up to the pressure for the last 2 years. It's been a lot of pressure in maintaining their quota places, in maintaining their positions, in staying in the top two ranking. That itself has been a huge pressure for most shooters. And they have been able to stand up to that pressure. So I believe that they've trained themselves, you know, to handle the pressure. What would be the most important thing out there is to find that their concentration. And, you know, despite Olympics, the one thing that separates the Olympics from all the other competitions up until then is the kind of media attention, the kind of attention of the entire world that is, you know, fixated on the one day when you're competing. So it's a huge media presence, but I think, you know, the most important challenge would be to find a concentration even amongst the chaos that they will see around them. So as long as a shooter can find that, I think there's nothing that can stop them. They are also talented and they've been able to stand up to the pressure. So just find that concentration on that day. Everything will take care of itself.
Right. Just, you know, a few stories from 2004. Rajavardhan Rathore had won a silver, which was celebrated a lot. Do you have some stories to share from that, the celebrations or something? Because it meant a lot for shooting. And even you reaching out the finals as well. It was a great day for shooting as well.
Yeah, actually, 2004 was, I think, the first year when we had some great performances. Mm-hmm. And in 2004, Abhinav Bindra made it to the finals,
right,
and he finished seventh. And I made it to the finals, mm-hmm, and I finished eighth. And both of us were happy we made it to the finals, but were extremely unhappy that we couldn't make it to the podium. So I remember both of us sitting and talking and actually sharing our grief after my match. And we were both sitting and watching Rajavardhan's match, and as we were talking, slowly we realized, oh my God, is he going to win it? And the way he performed, and then he actually went on to win his silver. So we were actually sitting there and watching the match, and just took our grief away, and then we congratulated him. And I think that's a very beautiful memory that I have of the 2004 Athens Olympics.
Yeah, and 2008, Abhinav did what he did, you know. So, just this is the last question. I'll leave you there now. Just tell me, because we need to speak about Abhinav, because, you know, what makes him special? Like, you know, you have been friends with him. You have your both careers, you know, went parallel at the same time. So, what really sets him apart, you know, in air rifle shooting?
I think for Abhinav, the most important aspect was his commitment to the game. And he did everything there was, you know, there was possibly nothing that he didn't try or he didn't attempt at to, you know, in his entire career. He just did everything there was. He invented new ways to make it more and more better. Mm-hmm. And his concentration, his perseverance, his willingness to go all out for perfection is something that I think it's a gift, and you don't see it so often coming in shooters.
Yeah, yeah.
And he did that. He stayed with this for so long, and when he won the Olympic gold, I in my mind, I just said to myself that, you know, thank God he won it, because he'd already put in so much that, you know, I think he deserved to get it. And I only said thank God for giving him this medal.
And all that he did after it. Winning the medal was just, you know, one smile. That's it.
Because behind that one smile were so many years
of
dedicated work that, you know,
So that was Suma Shirur with her insights on technicalities of shooting. Hope you enjoyed listening to it, and don't forget to tune in for the next edition of Force Post Masterclass. Until then, stay safe and goodbye.